When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com. It's the Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Late Show. She is a sports icon who has won 23 Grand Slam titles and 4 Olympic gold medals. She's now preparing for the Australian Open. Please welcome to A Late Show from Adelaide, Australia, Serena Williams. Serena, thanks so much for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
How's tomorrow? Because it's like noon there or something, isn't it?
I know. Tomorrow is good. You know, I'm a little bit in the future, so sure. I think it's going to be a good day.
Now, I have had the chance to talk to your husband many times. Actually, I had him on the show in 2018. And, you know, one of the questions everybody has is you guys seem like a happy, loving couple, but nobody expected one of the greatest athletes of all time to marry a self-professed nerd like Alexis. How does that work? He says you're a nerd, too, like a true nerd. What's your nerd cred?
Yeah, you know, I do have some nerd cred. I'm super into, and I heard you're into the Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit.
I am.
Yeah, I kind of grew up on that, so that's pretty cool. I'm really big into comics, like the Marvel thing and DC. Sure. I'm all into that kind of world. So,
are you watching WandaVision? Are you enjoying that?
You know, I'm a binge watcher.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to pick up something when there's only one season, but I did crack. And I actually watched it yesterday. It's definitely trippy.
It is. Right? It is super trippy.
Yeah. My verdict is out on it. It hasn't gone out on it yet, though.
As a Tolkien fan, whenever Tolkien sees Tolkien, I got to ask, do you have a favorite character from The Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. It's hard to not love Sam. You know, I actually, every time I see the Fellowship of the Ring, there's a scene where I actually cry because Sam is so, his friendship is unbelievable.
That's right. This is the right answer. Yeah. This is the right, you pass the test. You will diminish and go into the West and remain Galadriel. Now, you're in Australia right now, as I was just telling the people here. What's the quarantine like down under? Are they have strict quarantine protocols down there?
Yeah, it's super, super strict, but it's really good. So Australia right now has, the last I heard, they had 0 cases of COVID. So that is unbelievable, right? The whole country. So that is really amazing. So when we come here in Australia, everyone has to quarantine in a room for 14 days, and it's insane and it's super intense, but it's super good because after that you can have a new normal like what we were used to last year this time in the United States. So they're doing it right, you know, and it's definitely hard with a 3-year-old to be in the hotel all day, but it's worth it because you want everyone to be safe at the end of the day.
Now, you mentioned your daughter. We are big fans of Olympia. Look at that photograph. Olympia. It looks like a fierce competitor. What is she like on the court?
She loves her tongue out. She's like, she's a perfectionist on the court. I'm not quite sure where she got that from, but yeah, she loves to. I never thought I would let my daughter play tennis, but then I'm just like, during this pandemic, it was the only thing that we could do safely. And so I'm like, well, tennis it is.
And why wouldn't you want her to play tennis? Because it's just all consuming?
It's all consuming. It's stressful. It's a lot of work. It's a huge commitment, and it might be a little dab of pressure on her. So I'm like, I wouldn't naturally put her in it, but if that was something that she wanted to do, I would absolutely be like, oh my gosh, you should totally do that. And I would be rooting for her and supporting her, but it wouldn't be the first thing that I would do.
Now, as I said before in the intro, you've got 23 Grand Slam titles. Where do you keep 23 trophies? Do you have a giant case, or what do you keep them in the storage locker? Where are they?
That is the question of the double decade. I keep them a little places. My first Grand Slam, I actually left at my dad's house at the time, and I said, you keep it because I'm going to get another one, and that was at the U.S. Open. So, of course, I was able to get another one. And, you know, my coach has a few in France. There's several in my house. I think one or two or three are missing or have been.
They're really valuable, though, are they? Not just because they're trophies. They're like sterling symbols. Like, they're trays and big cups and stuff like that.
They are. Honestly, I feel like I had a house party years ago and someone got a little too happy at it. And, like, I don't know, but I always wonder, like, wait, is that where one of my Wimbledon trophies went? But fortunately enough, I'm not attached. I'm not really attached to things. You know, my saying is you can't take it with you when you leave, so.
That makes me think of something. Like, are those the cups and the trays or whatever, they look the same, but is it a new one every year, or do you have to give it back in for the next person, like the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, so you don't get to keep it at all. They give you a replica. So when I first started playing, they gave you like a really small replica, and now they give you like a bigger replica. So I'm like, can I trade in my small replicas for the bigger ones?
That doesn't seem fair.
But yeah, it's not quite fair, but yeah, it's cool. Nonetheless, it's really cool. So you don't get the real deal. You get a replica.
How nice is though the one? What's the Australian Open? What do you get?
You get a giant replica of that one. That one's really nice. I have a few of those, too.
Is it a cup or is it a tray or something? Something you could put nachos on?
It's this really cool trophy that you can open it up, and you could put chips in there.
Sure.
I can see that.
I mean, if you're going to lose it at a party, at least, you know, put it to good use first.
It's really perfect timing, especially, you know, getting ready for Super Bowl season. Usually we're at home for that, but it's definitely something to do.
Use that, and you're welcome. Use that as a little motivation when you're playing. Just say, I have to win this because
Yeah, it'll be a little motivation to help me to celebrate, so that'd be really cool.
Now, people are finding, well, the pressure of lockdown is mentally tough to do. And you're known not only, obviously, for physical prowess, but your mental toughness. Do you have any advice for people about how to get through lockdown, COVID, quarantine, you know, social distancing, and still stay mentally sharp?
Well, for me, it's really looking at the bigger picture. I think 2020 was such a tough year for everyone, and it was so intense that we don't want to go through that again. So a little just being careful and being, you know, considerate and listening to people that really know what they're doing, the people that are on the front line and those workers, is so important to listen and to take that feedback. But, you know, it's a lot of mental toughness. A lot of people, we always talk about athletes, how mentally tough it is. And one thing that I'd be remiss if I don't mention, that one new thing that I'm actually doing for a Super Bowl ad is this Michelob Ultra, where we talk about how all the stuff that you're talking about, it's incredibly a lot of mental work. I mean, this 6 weeks is so mental, but it's so important that no one talks about is the opportunity to just kind of just relax and just say, okay, I did all this mental work. A lot of part of success isn't just about being physically fit and just going into stuff and going. You also have to have a time for balance and letting go. And so I'm really excited about that new Super Bowl ad that I have coming out.
You know what? Put that Michelob Ultra in the Australian Open.
In the Australian Open trophy and turn that up, right?
Probably jam a six-pack in there. Now, the Australian Open starts February 8th, and here is, sorry, that's not the one, this is the photo. This is a really special photo. Can you see this on your end? Can you see this photo right here?
I can, yeah, I can.
That 23 years ago.
Yeah, 98. That's insane, right? I was still a baby.
This is at the Australian Open. And is this the first time you played against your sister professionally?
I think it was. It was the first time I played against her, and it was unfortunate because it was so early. We played each other in this so early, so it was intense, but it was cool. So it was a great experience for me.
What does the Australian Open mean to you?
It's a lot. You know, I really play right now for Grand Slams, and I love having an opportunity to even still be out here and to compete on this level. So what it means to me is an opportunity. I think it was really one of my favorite slams growing up. Just kind of getting out of the States, and just, I have so many friends in Melbourne, and so it's really nice. Anytime I win a Grand Slam, it means the world to me. So they are all really special.
Yeah, I like it when I do too.
You right? can see Isn't it
fun? It's really such a good feeling when I win a Grand Slam. It really is just like, you know, like, you know,
I concur.
The work was worth it, is what I think at the end of that. By the way, this is the only photo I have of me ever playing tennis. I want to get your opinion of my style. Here you go. This was me with James. Who am I playing against here? This is me against James Blake. That's me attempting to jump over the net.
It looks like you got caught up there in a few different ways. I hope you're okay.
I'm fine.
But yeah, the styling could be a little more modern. I mean, I'm always about the 80s. It looks like it's very 80s.
But you know. I'm the classics, you know. I'm sort of a Rene Lacoste kind of guy.
Classic can still be a little looser.
A little looser
on the bottom.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Serena, thank you so much for being here. You can see her in the Australian Open, which starts on February 8th. Serena Williams, everybody.
Coming up, Alexis Ohanian.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Guest tonight is the internet entrepreneur who co-founded Reddit and the venture capital fund Initialized Capital. Please welcome Alexis Ohanian. All right, we've spoken a few times over the years, corresponded a bit. How have you been?
I've been well. Busy.
Yeah. Okay.
Had a busy last year.
No. When did you left day-to-day operations of Reddit? When?
I did at the start of this year.
Start of this year.
Be a full-time venture capitalist with my partner Gary Tan at Initialized.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about Reddit for a second.
Sure.
For the people who don't know what Reddit is, I would be surprised because it is the fourth most viewed website in the U.S. How would you describe what Reddit is? Because I've described it and people go, no, that's not what it is.
It is. Now this way you can tell people definitively. It's a collection of communities, 100,000 plus of users from all over who are just submitting and sharing their favorite discussions and comments and voting up the best stuff.
And I burn my life away on it. There's always something interesting on Reddit.
Pretty much guaranteed. So now my hope is I want to discover the next Alexis Ohanian, hand them a check, and have them create something even bigger and even better.
Okay, well, the next Alexis Ohanian is actually your own child.
Oh, yes.
Right there. There is your beautiful child, Olympia. Right there.
Yes.
Who is the daughter of you and your lovely wife, Serena Williams. Right there. There you are. How, Alexis? Because I knew you before you were married to this lovely woman.
Mm-hmm.
How does a self-described, unequivocal nerd end up with one of the greatest athletes in recorded history? How does that come about? It's not a natural match.
You know,
this isn't the sort of thing. I could have won a lot of money if I'd bet on this. The odds would have been pretty good.
Don't ever tell me the odds, Stephen. You know what? I would beg to differ on one hand because she's actually a total nerd.
Oh, really?
Indeed. And we actually met through just random circumstance. I happened to be at a conference in Rome, an internet conference. She was playing a tournament there.
Sure.
And I had a little too much to drink the night before, as is the thing. Red wine flows nicely in Italy. And I overslept, and I missed breakfast. And I'm a fiend for coffee. And the nice folks at the hotel said, if you really need some coffee, sir, just go sit outside. And I just grabbed the table, opened my laptop, and then this Australian guy, turned out to be her assistant, is like, I take off my headphones. He says, there's a rat. There's a rat near your table. You should move. And I told him, thank you. But I'm from Brooklyn. I see rats all the time. It's really not a big deal. Yeah. It's
true. So that was just to get you to move along.
I later learned they were just trying to get rid of me. They were planning on using that table for the rest of their team. But Serena turned around and was like, wait, you're not afraid of rats? And I said, no. And she asked, she asked if I was there at the tech conference. And I said, yes. And she asked me who I was there to see speak. And I said, I was speaking. And then she asked what I did. And I said, I started this company called Reddit. And I do investing. And she said, Reddit. Never heard of it. And at the time, I'd like to think she had a hidden agenda. But she assures me that it was just purely professional. She was just interested in taking my number so that she could ask me questions about tech and some of the businesses she was interested in. And one thing led to another, and she had made what I would call an LA invite for me to come see her play in France. And I didn't know this was a thing, but she had made me the invite with no intention of actually taking me up on it. This is the LA invite.
She's just sort of like, you should come. Me in Paris.
Yes.
I'm playing at the French Open. Come.
With no intention of actually me taking her up on it or even being a sincere invitation at all.
So
I'm not from LA.
What happens when you show up?
Well, I figured, look, I'm an entrepreneur, and you have to sort of default to yes in situations and just trust your instincts and just know what you want and do it. And I figured, worst case scenario, if she blows me off for the weekend, I have a great story of how I just got blown off for a weekend in Paris, and I've got friends there, and I was going to have a good time. So I let her know that I was actually going to be in town, and it was just a perfect coincidence. I was supposed to be in Paris anyway. I wasn't.
Very smooth.
And
very
I said I was,
smooth.
And I was only there for the weekend, so I said I was way too busy to meet up on Saturday.
Wait, you flew to Paris and then tried to act cool?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm just here to check out the local rats.
You asked me.
I'm a big rat fan. Yeah.
You asked me how it happens. That's how it happened. I told her I was really busy. And then she tried to blow me off. But then eventually, we ended up spending a day together just wandering around Paris. And I'll tell you the moment I knew, we had found this little zoo in the middle of nowhere. I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I said, we're getting out. We're going to walk through this zoo here. And it was this beautiful exhibition with these big cats, like a leopard. And it was this majestic creature, really beautiful moment. And then it was feeding time. And they threw out a bunny.
A living bunny or a dead bunny?
It was a dead bunny, but okay. it was a show. I mean, this leopard just went in, and blood is going everywhere. And she's very romantic. But she's standing in front of me, and I can tell she's really unsettled by it, really uncomfortable. And I held her, and I said, it's cool. We're gonna keep going. But in that moment, I was like, okay, there's something here, there's a connection. And in that moment, thanks to that poor rabbit, I found love in spite of everything
else. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And now congratulations on the new venture.
Yes.
Tell me, you've got to go here quickly, but tell me about initialized capital and cryptocurrency, and don't explain blockchain or I will walk off this stage right now.
Wow.
So why cryptocurrency? Why not currency? Why not money? You know, people will spend it.
Yeah, well, so what this does is actually, it's a fuel for a potentially new internet. And things like Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, are an opportunity for us to have a store of value that is not backed by a single country. And I think for a lot of us, that may seem kind of silly because we trust that the U.S. is still going to be a successful country in 10 or 20 years. But if we can
make it through the next three, I think we're going to be fine.
But there is a
we're going to be just fine.
There's a very real need. I'm Armenian. There was just a major, actually, bloodless revolution in Armenia, which was fantastic. But in so many states, there is uncertainty about government and money, and people see their life savings disappear. There is a very real value to having a currency that, as volatile as things like Bitcoin are still actually potentially less volatile than some of these states that see hyperinflation and everything else. And we sort of take for granted the fact that we all have bank accounts and we think that we can move this money here and there. But for so many people in the world to have actually the security of knowing that, like, what is yours, and because it is now digital, could be transferred with you wherever you're going, is actually a pretty empowering thing.
Good luck. I hope we don't need it.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. Thank you, Steve.
Alexis Ohanian, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.